Well, it's great to be back with you. I took a little bit of break, and there's so many things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for our celebrations, and I know you are too, of Christmas. It was a wonderful time and season in this place, and I'm thankful also for the simple things, and I hope that you are too, some time to be with family, to have some joy and laughter in our home with people gathered around, a little bit of travel time. It's all good, but it's great to be back because I'm really excited about this year, the beginning of this year, and all that God has in store for us as a people together here in this place. Now, I say that knowing, as we've kind of already mentioned, that there's a lot of stuff about in the beginning of this year. If you just kind of think about what's been going on in the past 5 days or so, and even what we're expecting, you know, the snow is coming, oh my goodness. Stores, I hear, are selling out of some things. And it's not just coming here, it's coming all the way across the country, right? So I've got some family out in the Midwest. My mom's trying to get back. There's a crazy that's kind of spreading. You're feeling that kind of chaos with it. There's so much going on, right? There's a change in power going to happen in just a few days. We've got a former president's funeral coming to town. So much. There's things that have happened, honestly, that are heartbreaking in the first day of the year. There's so much that could be said about senseless violence and just concern and prayers for the people of New Orleans and other places where there's just heaviness about just so much loss and violence across the globe. So this new year starts with a lot. And I just want to name that. There's great joy in what newness can bring, and as we come together as a people of God, but there's also the sense that things are kind of swirling and a little bit, at least for me, a little bit chaotic in the first of the year. But you find yourself here, whether you're online worshiping or you're in this room, you find yourself here on this fifth day of January. You find yourself here on this last bit of Christmas tide that we celebrate. We've still got the lovely decorations in the house. You find yourself here on this traditional Sunday when we celebrate the coming of the wise ones, the wise men from afar, to offer their best gifts to the baby Jesus. You are here for worship. And I think very much like the light that drew them so long ago to that baby, to worship him, you come drawn this morning by the same light. So no matter what's happening in the world, you're drawn by the same light of God's grace that has dawned, that nothing can conquer that light. You come here as we stand on the edge of this new year. You come here seeking a word of hope, seeking a way that you can kind of absorb and inspire and be a part of what God is doing, despite what we might feel as all swirls at us, storm and all. As we begin to kind of think about where we are in time and place, we're starting a new series today, and you've heard us mention it a little bit. We have a slide for that series. It's called Made for Impact. So you've just heard the Genesis story of our creation, and we're starting a year with a series called Made for Impact. The launch of the series, I can't think of it being more timely. We've talked about it for several months among the pastors and staff, and with everything that's afoot, I think there's some godly timing in this. So we start this year thinking about what our impact can be in this world that we live in the present moment. So I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this question as we kind of leap into the new year together. Let's put the question on the screen. How can we together have a positive, Christ-informed impact in 2025? Regardless of what you're feeling, you may have come in this morning just excited about the new year, full of all kinds of hopes and resolutions and plans, and you got your vision board going and all those things. Everything's going great. You may have been dragging some things, or you're just worried about the storm or work starting this week. But this is what I place in front of us. How can we be positive in this year, Christ-informed positivity, and have an impact for Christ in this year 2025? This is going to be a great focus for us this year. We're going to return to this question of impacts as we think about our individual goals and our collective goals together. Now, what I don't want you to see with this question is I don't want to push too hard and have you go to a place of I've got to quickly, in the span of really quickly, maybe the service make some New Year's resolutions about my faith and my Christ impact. I don't want you to feel that stress. Can we just let go of that stress? It's a stress-free environment in here this morning. That's not what I'm asking, because I think some of those thoughts can be overwhelming. And really, I want to be inspiring this morning. We have a great potential to work together, to be a part of our individual kind of focus on Christ this year and what we can pull together. I have to say, I'm not a big fan. We were talking a little bit with Megan's question. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. I know they work for some folks, but I think they raise a little bit of stress that I don't want to do among us this year. Let's take a look at a video that sort of examines New Year resolutions. Let's take a look at this quick video. So true. Don't do that. Great. Please don't take your florist sticker off your car. I see them around in the neighborhood. And don't give up. You know, whatever works for you, as we start this time of made for impact, of talking about the impact for a year, the impact of our lives, you know, you do you and what works for you. And we're gonna take a kind of broad scope of it. There's this new thing I learned about. I was doing some travel and I was reading in the Associated Press the other day, and they had this big article about a concept of the winter arc. Have you heard of this? It's out there in the news a little bit and media circles about not doing compressed New Year's resolutions because they bring stress. They work for some people, but what research finds, you've probably heard this over and over again, is usually by about 30 days, we've tried some quick things and we've given up on them just as quickly. And then we get frustrated and we're like carving off the goals as the year goes on. This idea of a winter arc that's out there is to take that whole season. And some people even start in the fall, so I don't want you to feel late, but maybe starting in January and thinking about this winter time that we're seriously entered into today and this evening, and using some slower time and some space of when there's not that much daylight to pull us to other things, and really working on ourselves, not giving up, not putting that pressure and shame on ourselves that resolutions can do sometimes when we're at like week two and we aren't on the treadmill or we aren't in the Bible like we wanted to be, but using discernment, and particularly discernment of God's Spirit and being reminded who we are and how we're created to be, to live into a different way. So to taking the scope, and that's what we want to do with Made for Impact as we begin today, is we want to kind of take an arc. If you think about it as an arc for a year in the whole new year, in this time to really reset. Not anything that's that's a swift shift or that is going to rock you in a way that's going to stress you out or make you feel shame. That's not what we're talking about. It's a guided way of discernment toward our fullest potential and living into who we're created to be. Now, if you've watched the news at all in the past few days or you've been on social media, you probably could not have escaped this quote that's been shared around so much about former President Carter and his passing, a quote from him. Carter was known to have said this, "I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I am, wherever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have to try to make a difference." Now, Wesley was Baptist, but that sounds a little bit, Carter was Baptist, but it sounds a little bit Wesleyan to me, right? It sounds a little bit like John Wesley, realizing that you're made for an impact, that you're made for a purpose to have a positive impact in the world. It can make your life want to count for something. So I love this quote from Carter because particularly in his post-presidential years, he and his wife worked so hard to do that, and we've heard that story in the news. Realizing that you're made for an impact is to make those intentional adjustments that you need to make to engage in some hard work. The hard work of knowing that our story, your personal story, ultimately connects with God's story. And that's what we're going to talk about today, that challenge of making our life count, of understanding that we're made for an impact. It takes us all the way back to our roots. It takes us back to the narrative of creation in the Genesis story that you heard so well read for you earlier this morning. That passage reminds us that we are created in God's image, male and female created in God's image, and we're created with a purpose. Did you hear that? We miss that sometimes in the story. We're created with this purpose, and some of us don't like this, but we're made with this purpose to have dominion over the world, to have dominion over the world. Now, that's a high calling, right? But what does that really mean? What does that really mean? In the present day, what does that really mean? I want to say, if we put it really simply, if we think about this, if we think about what we're created for, it's not about exploitation of power or unchecked rule and this dominion kind of thing. Rather, it's about responsible stewardship. It's about making that positive impact with the life that you are given, with the resources, with the gifts that each of us are given. One of my heroes in life is Jane Goodall, and she wisely said this, "What you do makes a difference, and you have to choose what kind of difference you want to make." What you do makes a difference, and you have to choose what kind of difference you want to make. Our creation story, we read in Genesis that we're created in the image of God and that God sees creation on that day six and humans who are a part of it as made for good. God actually says that he sees it that we are very good, not just good, that we're very good actually. And then as we look at the fullness of the story of God's relationship, God's loving relationship with us from Genesis forward, we come to understand that we're created with this wiring from God to be a part of the very good stuff that God has placed in front of us. The very good stuff that God is ever recreating and unfolding in our world. And in that, we realize that we are to be God's instruments of love and compassion and positive change and impact in the world. That's what impact is. Goodall, she goes on to talk about making a difference. I love what she says here. She says, your life matters, and it does. I want to reaffirm that today. Your life matters. You can't live through a day, think about it. You can't live through a day without making an impact on the world. And what's most important is to think about the impact of your actions on the world around you, she says. Yours, taking responsibility for your impact, our collective impact as the people of God here at Florist Restoration. You were given a stone, I hope, as you came in this morning. You were given a stone. And I want you to imagine you're going to get to drop your stone at communion time. I want you to imagine with that stone, you can take it and hold it, dropping it in a still pond. Kind of imagine it in your mind's eye, just calm water. And think about what happens. The ripples start small, but they gradually expand across the surface of that still water, don't they? Touching every part of the water's surface. We are all stones. And when we drop what we have, when we're informed by Christ, when we understand how we're made and how we're wired and the potential for goodness that God sees in us, this thing that is very good, and that our actions, no matter how large or small, can create far-reaching impact for goodness, then this is how our actions can matter. They can matter in a world that does feel chaotic, that does feel like we should fear it on some days. We understand our ripple effect, that every choice we make, every act of kindness, every little bit of encouragement that we offer someone has the potential to create positive ripple. Positive ripples that extend beyond our immediate sphere of influence. They go out to places that you can't even touch or see or sometimes even know. In the life of ministry, I get the benefit sometimes of hearing about those ripples, sometimes even years later. That's the work of God in the long span of things. Yesterday, I watched one of my daughter's basketball games on the NCAA network. She's playing down in North Carolina, and they lost narrowly, just by a little bit. But I have to say, it wasn't their best play game. It was a struggle. And as I watched the teams in a close game back and forth, they kind of like, one team was up by 10 for a while, the other team was up by 10, just kind of went back and forth like that across the quarters. I noticed how momentum shifted things. All it took was a little bit of positivity. Someone would hit a good three, and then the momentum would swing. And then somebody else would hit something that they just missed a few minutes ago, and the passes got tighter and sharper, and the teams just moved with that momentum. One of the great basketball pros, LeBron James, says of himself that he made impact plays. And if you ever watched him or you watch some of the great players, you watch Caitlin Clark on the women's side, they're impact plays that they make. Things that shift the game, James says. An integral part of being part of a team is to go with that momentum, to shift the momentum to change the game. Think about the ripple effect, your potential ripple effect. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday because I was thinking about the sermon. It was on my mind as I was watching that game. But I'm telling you, it fascinated me about how things could just shift so quickly with positivity, with some good effort, with applying oneself. Now, that's sports. But I'm going to tell you that here in 2025, I see that we need some change and some positive momentum. We in this world, I'm not saying we florists, our world needs some positive change and some positive momentum. How we get there to be a part of that, to make an impact individually and as a group collectively, as a church, it may be a different journey. But positive impact multiplies. It gets contagious. People are drawn to it, and they talk about it, and they want to be a part of it. I could see the shift on the bench in the cheering when those teams would go, and there'd be that 10-point shift, and that momentum would shift. So with that first question I ask you about how you and how we can be a part of making an impact, I'm going to put it back at you this way. What would it mean? What would it mean if the people of Florist, both sides, Florist Restoration, focused in faith on the reason we were made? To have a positive impact in the world, working alongside our Creator for what is good. And not just good, but very good, because God pronounced us very good in creation. He pronounced all creation in the end very good. Now, I believe this is a part of the legacy of Florist Methodist Church. It's been our calling here for a long time to make an impact. That's part of the story of the Christmas Eve offering, right? And a hospital being built, and children's lives being saved, near and far. And I get excited at the thought of this legacy moving forward, not looking back. When we look back and we look at that past, it should encourage our current story. Where is God calling us to make an impact in the here and now, right now? Looking to the things that in the present moment are breaking our hearts. And even more importantly, what in the present moment is breaking God's heart? And I think about the example of Florist in that, some of the things I mentioned. And I also think about biblical examples of people who in faithfulness made such an impact with sometimes just decisions, a call, an urging from the Spirit, and the world was changed because of their faithfulness. We just come off of this Christmas story, right? And we broke down Mary and Joseph. That's like a beginning example because that's where we've been. How their faithful actions in the delivery of Christ to us changed the world. That's perhaps the greatest ripple effect, right? Right there. Their faithfulness, you know, aided and spread by shepherds and angels and the wise men that we remember today. Think about Old Testament. Go back to the story of Moses and Moses' leadership and his ripple and the choices he had. He made a decision to go back at risk of his own life to confront Pharaoh. Right? You know the story, God's call. And the people of Israel were shaped forever. That nation has been shaped forever. The history, the people, shaping our traditions and our faith because of decisions that he made. Bold decisions, but also decisions along the way, the ripple effect coming into the present moment. Maybe in a simpler but just as important way, I think about Ruth in that Old Testament and Ruth's loyalty to her mother-in-law, right? Of how she made a decision to stay with and support Naomi, and that led to so much. That led to her connection to the lineage of David and ultimately to Jesus. She demonstrated how really one act of faithfulness, of doing what is right, can have an eternal impact. Again, connection to Christ, Ruth just being faithful to her family when she could have walked away. What about Paul, right? Paul's conversion and transformation from persecutor to apostle. You know the story, most of you. That probably had the greatest impact, the greatest ripple effect on the spread of Christianity. He is the author of most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. We are living in the ripples. If you have felt the benefit of your faith in any way, we are living into the ripples of the Apostle Paul's faithfulness. Right now, his ministry spreading to folks like us, the Gentiles, most of us Gentiles in this room. These examples demonstrate to us that individual actions, living into the goodness of God, the call of God, the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ, expands beyond our immediate circumstance. And sometimes, would Paul have known that a group of people in 2025 would gather and praise and worship Jesus like we did this morning? I don't think Paul would have known the potential of that ripple. 2025, way beyond his time in the first century. I think Paul and Moses stand in that list that I gave you to remind us that you can really, utterly mess up, because both of them did repeatedly, and still be a part of God's work, making an impact, making a change, doing good, pivoting. We look at some of those figures like Mary and we say, oh man, she was so young and she was so righteous. But God takes a lot of brokenness and a lot of mistakes and redeems it. This is the kind of God that picks up people that have hugely failed. And when we think about these individuals, it brings me to think about and get excited about collective impact. When disciples are working together, I think about the early apostles, right? 11 of them in that upper room, joined by about 100 people or so. And they moved outward from that day of Pentecost with the message of Jesus. And it changed the world. I don't know about you, but it changed their message. The perpetuation of that apostolic ministry of those 11 guys changed my life. And is in the process of ever changing me. To move that message of Jesus out for hope and healing in a broken world. That's what they did. Folks, we're much larger than 11 in here, if you notice. And yes, the people here at Forest, we have this history of making an impact in this place. But these ripples, think about the potential of individual actions. Think about the potential when 10, 11, 12 gather together in a group and they decide they're going to do something that makes a positive impact, 100 even or so on that day of Pentecost, a little bit more than that maybe. And those things align with this Christ-informed impact for good. Tapping back into the image of God within us, the way that we are created to make a difference, to live. To be a part of the very, very good intentions of God that were set for you and for me, and maybe that bug on the screen, part of creation, right? From the very beginning, regardless of what we face, we can make the light of Christ in this new world brighter. The draw of the amazing grace that we know in the fullness of the story, because we got the benefit of the story, the draw of that, I think, can be made contagious, folks. Our actions can ripple. With hope and in healing and significance, we can make a difference in this year. Think about how the story started. So many of those biblical stories, I just named a few, start with the faithfulness of one or two people. Those apostles, 11 of them. Moving out in faithfulness. How do we do this? It's kind of like the wise men of the Epiphany story that we remember today, right? We have to listen to the voice of God prompting us, reminding us who we are. The voice of God that comes to us in dreams and gives us vision for the year, for our families, for our own life, for our church. We're going to start talking about some of that vision in the next few weeks here. And when we listen to the voice of God, we also have to face our fears. We have to face our fears. The wise men did. And in facing those fears and listening to God, they let God guide their journey. You know that story? They went home from visiting the baby Jesus by another road because they were warned. They were warned. They listened. It's letting God guide the steps, guiding those incremental, not stressful shifts, but those incremental changes, the discernment that we're making in our joint journey together as followers of Jesus in this year. I shared President Carter's insights about the impact of living his faith earlier in that quote. A memorable moment in my time in seminary is when Jimmy Carter, you know, very near Atlanta, joined with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and both of them had professorships at my seminary, Candler and Emory. They often held dialogues together, and one of the things that we noticed was how similar, come from very different contexts, live very different lives, but how similar Carter and Tutu were in some of their insights, particularly about following Jesus. And so what I narrow that down to is that both of them carried such hope, and both of them were a part of healing, healing within the world, healing within difficult situations. Like Carter, Tutu said this once. He said, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world." That's powerful, folks. I believe that we can do some overwhelming work. I believe that we individually and together this year can do some overwhelming work in faithfulness beginning now. This winter arc, if you will, if you'll buy that, this winter arc of possibility leading us into this new year to be impactful with God's help, Christ-informed impact. All we have to do is to drop a few things. So I want you to think about when you come forward with a communion, what you're going to commit to when you drop your rock. And sometimes that's letting go of some things, dropping some self-interest, dropping some of your frustrations and your complaint about how the world is, and deciding that you're going to be a part of making a difference. And picking up some things too, realizing, I hope you realize today that when you live into your story as being created in the image of God to make a very good impact on the world because you are very good, and that story, your story, messes with the incredible story of Jesus, who gives himself for us, love made known to us in the way of Christ, then that's the game changer, folks. That's the game changer. That's the momentum that we need as a church and a society. And that's the positive ripple. That's the positive ripple that we long for. That's the thing that cannot and will not be stopped. Thanks be to God. Amen.